let you up left. I'm good. Good enough to handle my peace. So good. Good enough to raise my kids. This past is the past, and honestly, I'm happy for where I'm at because I'm good. Say, Tim, yo, you're my hero. How you do it? How you stay strong? Let them all know there's so much that I've been through. I have my days when it's true, y'all. I just can't smile. I just wanna cry. It ain't easy.
Good morning, family. How is everybody this morning? I said, good morning, family. How is everybody this morning? It's a little bit cold outside, but we'll get a warm in here. Amen. Let's get ready to bless God because he's worthy of our praise. Father, we thank you that we can come into your house this morning and we can offer up a sacrifice of praise, God. That we can do this and be a blessing to you, God. That we can glorify you. I pray this morning that your spirit would have his way. That he would be able to do everything and anything that he needs to do. That our hearts would be tuned in. We would be listening to you. Paying attention to you. And God, that when we come to a place where we corporately bless you, you will be able to move in our midst. In Jesus' precious name. Come on, let's bless God this morning, church.
You know he's good.
praise. We worship you. Hallelujah. How many believe we serve a God that's not dead? Amen. We serve a God who is alive. He's ruling and reigning. Amen.
Goodbye. you are, just lift your hands and begin to worship him. Call out to him. If you don't know what to say, just simply say his name, Jesus. Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, God. Hallelujah. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet.
Hallelujah.
Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. You have never failed me yet. Come on and sing your promise. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
Sing your praise.
your promises are yes and amen. You are not man that you would lie.
Great are you, Lord.
So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. Is your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life. You give love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Use your breath in our lungs. So we in our lives, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. Is your breath in our lives? So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. Is your breath in our lives? So we pour out our praise to you. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We honor you this morning, God. Thank you for being in this place. God, we want more of you. We want more. We want more of you, Jesus. We want more of you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just take your time. Talk to him. Talk to him. Worship him this morning. Worship him this morning. Maybe you don't know what to say. Just as Nicole said, just say his name. His name's above every single name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Jesus, we honor you. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for being so faithful, Jesus. Thank you for forgiveness, Lord. And thank you that today we stand here dressed in your righteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you care about every situation that we're going through, every concern, every emotion. God, you care. You're the healer. Jesus, heal this morning in Jesus' name. Heal hearts, heal minds, God, we pray. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And all the earth will shout.
Come on now.
Your praise.
Come on.
Our hearts will cry.
He's listening to you.
Bones will sing. Great.
Shout his praise this morning.
Your praise.
worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the I am that I am. God, we honor you this morning. Jesus, you are Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi. God, we thank you that you are Jehovah Tissit Kanu. God, we thank you that this morning, Jesus, you care about every situation. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Oh, Jesus, do what you do best. Love your people. Love your people, Jesus. Love your people, Jesus. Love your people, Jesus. We worship you. Isn't it great being in the presence of God? What an honor and a privilege we have this morning. You know, some people are going to church this morning, but I refuse to go to church. I want to go into the sanctuary of heaven, amen? I want God's Spirit to saturate me, overwhelm me. I want God to penetrate me. I want God to enthrall every fiber and every portion. Lord, I you know what I love? And you've heard me say it before, but I want to be like a kid that's gone out and played in the rain. You know, when you get so wet, you walk in the house and all you hear is, I want God to just squish out of my boots. Amen. Because you love him so much, he loves you. Turn to someone and say, Jesus loves you. You know, some people don't ever hear that. Tell somebody else, Jesus loves you. The greatest of these is love. On your way back to your chair this morning, make sure you welcome 5 or 6 folks that you do not know. Don't be a snob today now. Don't be a snob. Go welcome some folks. Let them know that God is good and not bad. Come on, go find them. Go find somebody. Don't just sit down. Don't sit down. Go find somebody you don't know.
One, Rock Solid Faith, happens every Tuesday night, every Wednesday morning, and every Thursday night. You want to make sure you sign up. You can go online, histabernacle.com. You can click on Next Steps, sign up, register, or you can just show up to class. Make sure you sign up today for Next Steps.
A vision for you. He and she is the mouthpiece of God.
One sent with definite authority, definite mission.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? How many of you are excited about the Empowering Pastors Conference? It is going to be amazing. We have a testimony. How many of you love testimonies? Come on over here. I love testimonies. Are you watching on live stream today? Make sure you get ready. It's a phenomenal testimony of God's power. Go ahead.
We're Stacy and Mark Mazur, and this is just about me personally. I had no idea I was going to do this today, but God is telling me to do it, so I'm going to do it. As you may know, I have a business, and I truly believe that it's God's purpose for me. And 8 months ago, I had something very serious come against the business and speak death into it and make up lies and slander me. And it was very difficult. It went through all arenas, state, federal, many different things. And all through it, God told me it is over. It is over. And for 8 months, I did Psalms every day. I did not exactly. I mean, we're all sinners somewhere. So, you know, I tried the best I could to do what God told me to do. And I was supposed to have something happen on Thursday. And I was very nervous about it, but I knew that God said that it was over. And Wednesday morning, I got a call from my lawyer, and he said, "It is over." And I said, "Thank you, God, because when God has a purpose for you, no one can take you out of it. And the lion may roar, but I am always going to be victorious with my God." And this is just a huge thing. And I thank everyone who's been with us on this. And I will also tell you that when you're going through something like this, you fix your face like flint, yeah, and you get on it, yeah, and you keep going and you keep pushing, and you don't let anyone know that anything is wrong, and you keep going. And our God is an awesome God, and there's no explanation but that. Thank you very much. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. That was an okay testimony, huh? Amen. Pastor Dan.
Are you guys good? How's family? Come on, guys. You guys aren't excited this morning. I know it's early. All right, listen. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to the left person, okay, and say, "Good morning, family." All right, turn to the person to your right and say, "Good morning, family." All right. Yeah, left. Well, we're glad to have you here this morning. We want to welcome all of our guests to the house this morning. We're so glad to have you. We're not going to embarrass you or do anything crazy like that because we're, like, cool. Like, you know, we want you to chill on your first time. So if you are a first-time guest in the house, so we have a gift for you we'd like to be able to hand out. If you are a first-time guest in the house, if you could just raise your hand up, you know, like maybe this high. Amen, amen. We got a guest. We got a couple up here. Awesome. We got somebody that's going to be bringing you a gift. We're glad to have you in the house this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Right after the service, we want to let you know we have a guest reception on the other side of this wall to your right. There is a room in there. We have a guest reception where you have an opportunity to meet the pastors and the staff of His Tabernacle. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. Right here in the front, Brother Melvin. We got somebody over there. We got another one on the other side. Yay, let's clap for the guests. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We also want to welcome the live stream. Thank you so much for joining us live stream wherever you are. I hope you're in your living room. But thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're going to have an awesome message. Again, you just heard it preached already. We want to let you know about some things that we have going on. You've been hearing about some different things like Empowering Pastors Leadership Summit. Amen. So that's coming up this month. It's going from the 20th to the 22nd. It's a powerful conference that we're bringing. We want to be able to build up pastors and encourage them and empower them. And again, this is something that was in a vision and a heartbeat of our pastor, just being able to bless the pastors. But more than anything, this is not just for pastors. Amen? So if you are a leader, or even if you have a desire to be a leader, this is for you. Also for any workers and volunteers. You want to be able to participate with this leadership summit, because this is where you can get empowered and start growing in your strength and such. Also, we want to let everybody know, in the foyer, what you'll find is we have the Uproar conference. Can we hear it from Uproar? So we're seeking out monthly partnerships. So if you are interested in becoming a partner of the Uproar conference that is in July, we'd love to have you sign up and become a partner with us and help out towards that, because we're making a difference with the teenagers in our community. Amen? All right, last and not least, listen, you're going to hear this right now, okay? We do send out notices by Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, you're getting your notice now. Guess what, everybody? Next week, say next week, we're springing forward. What's that mean? You lose sleep. It's the worst. But we're warning you now, okay? So don't show up. What time would it be if they show up at 9? Is it 8? Yeah, don't come at 8. Okay, we don't start service at 8 next week. It's 9 o'clock, but we're springing forward. Is everybody on the same page? We're on the same page? Awesome. Thank you so much, Pastor Rhonda.
Kate. Nothing preaches better than a testimony. And so we have a financial testimony this morning from Kate.
Tithing. I do want to say tithing is a prereq for this to happen, though. So Pastor has been preaching on what God do you serve. Do you serve the God who just gets you by? Or do you serve the God who blesses you beyond what you can think? So we had our house on the market, and we've been praying diligently. We've been tithing, but we've been praying that we get something that pays our bills, okay? Pastor started preaching on this God. What God do you serve that blesses you more than you deserve? Because we don't deserve it. Let me breathe. So, we started changing our prayer. Amen. To God, what do you want us to have for this? We're going to pray that we get more than what will pay our bills.
Amen. Amen.
And so we've had a little bit of action on the house. People say they love the house, but we're not ready to put an offer in. We started declaring what this guy's been teaching. And in one weekend, we got a bidding war. We are not getting what will get us by to pay our bills. We are getting $10,000 more than what we've been praying for. So I just want to encourage you not to just tithe, but also listen to what he has to say, because he's preaching the truth. And do you serve the God who will get you by? Because he will bless you. Or do you serve the God who rains heaven down on earth? I didn't practice this, so just serve this God. I'm walking proof.
Amen. Like I said, nothing preaches better than a testimony. You can't argue with somebody's testimony. God is good. Are you ready to enter into your kingdom finances? Stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. Deuteronomy 28, and it says, if I obey, oh, come on now. I want to hear you preach like Kate just preached, all right? If I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button. Give right along with us.
Now listen, this is important. If God will do it for one, he'll do it for you too. Amen? So some people say, well, you know, it must have been just their time. They hit the lucky lottery of heaven. Glory to God. I want you to know if God loves one, he loves us all. If God will bless one, he'll bless us all. As we walk in obedience to the Lord and declare the Constitution, the word of the Lord, we cannot fail. Can I hear an amen? What an awesome year. I just want to talk real quickly. I know Pastor Dan touched it. About the Empowering Pastors Summit. And if you're saying, well, I'm not a pastor, we have pastors, we have business leaders that come as well. We have pastors coming from Kentucky. We have people starting to call in and register. You want to be there. Have you ever heard Dr. David Ireland out of New Jersey? My goodness, it is going to be a life transformer. He is such a powerful man of the Spirit. And when he speaks, he's much quieter than I am. But he drops nuggets that, like, lay you out on the floor, like you're laying on the floor and, like, just moving. You know, it's so powerful because the word that is in his spirit. And he moves. I think he's one of the most powerful men I've ever seen move in the word of knowledge. I've watched him go and minister to 50 people at one time. My wife and I were in the service. He went from one person to the next. And I'm not talking like the Lord wants to bless you. We call that flower prophecy. I'm talking like details, what they were talking about in their bedrooms, what they were going through emotionally, and how God was going to meet their needs. I remember once he pulled my wife and I out. He had never met us before. We were in a congregation of 800. Pulled us out and prophesied. He said, this is where you've been the last 5 years. This is where you are right now. And God is saying, this is where you're going to be in the next 5 years. And every bit of it came to fruition. It was so awesome. I remember him pulling me out, and it was a different time, and he said to me, you know, you're constantly looking for a spiritual father. He said, but it's time now you stop looking for a father and you be a father. And then he said, write, 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 and write. And so, as you've seen, we've been writing. We've been writing a lot. And God is good, and God is blessing us. So I'd encourage you to come. We also have Bishop Rick Thomas on Wednesday. Man, he could preach 3 hours, and you're going to just sit there and keep writing. It is going to be phenomenal. So please be present. And if you'd like to sow into the pastors that cannot, we had a pastor actually sow this year, he and his wife, so that another pastor could be sponsored because they can't come themselves. This is a time where you have an opportunity to sow into. We have escaped children. Hallelujah. Hi, guys. How are you? Listen, this is their home. Don't be embarrassed. It's their home. They've grown up here. They're a mommy's tummy here. This is where they're comfortable. This is where the children should be comfortable. Amen. The house of God. All right, now, last week we preached on the generous blood of Jesus. How many of you are excited about the blood of Jesus that washes away every single stain? This is the year of, oh, I can't hear you. I said, this is the year of, we are. Turn to someone and say, we are. You are the generous church, and you are exactly that. You are generous in meeting and showing the love of Jesus. Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And I, as your pastor, am just so, I'll use the word proud, so proud to say that I am your pastor as we are truly affecting this region. We're not a church in a cornfield, what used to be a pot field. We are a church that's in a field that's preparing and bringing forth the goodness of God to our region. Can I hear an amen? Today I want to preach and minister on another facet of God's generosity, and that is mercy and grace. I don't know how many of you like mercy, but I do. How many of you like mercy? Turn to somebody and say, if you need it, better give it. Amen. If you need mercy, you need to give mercy. Now, what I love about mercy and grace is that those coupled together keep us safe. But the fact is that many don't understand what mercy is, and they don't understand what grace is. So if they don't understand, then how can they ascertain or lay hold of God's generous mercy and God's generous grace? You know, grace is different from mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. For the wages of sin is, how many of you know that you should be the one paying for your sins? Remember, that's what we talked about last week. The generous blood of Jesus paid the price that you and I should be paying for instead of us paying the price and going to the lake of fire. Jesus washes our sins away. Can I hear an amen? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And grace, many, many people have twisted grace. Grace is God's favor and God's power to live the life here on earth. We need the grace of God manifested in our lives like never before. And I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 25. It's the verse for the year, and it says this: the generous soul shall be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. You know, I had a lady come up to me, I think it was at Walmart yesterday, and she said, Pastor, I watch every week on His Word TV. How many of you watch His Word TV? His Word TV, His Tabernacle, we're on TV on CBS, a local CBS station, every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and the ABC station at 9 a.m. And so we have, they say, between 3 and 5 folks watching every single week, and that's a pretty good-sized congregation that's part of you. Can you turn to someone and say, we're much bigger than we can see? It's very true. It's exciting to realize, and she said, Pastor, I am so excited that you're preaching against the spirit of poverty in our region. That many people just will lay hold of poverty, live in poverty, and never move forward. And it's important that we know that God says, the generous soul shall be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. That God does not have poverty for you, but God has generosity for you. And God's generous grace and God's generous mercy is something that we participate with on a consistent basis, yet many of us do not understand what it is. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9 says this: and you he hath quickened, who were dead in your trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit or the demonic that are now working in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversation in time past, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Turn to someone and say, that's not my nature anymore. You see, when you were not born again, the Bible says you have the nature of Satan. What is the nature of Satan? It is the nature of rebellion. It is the nature of self-pleasure. It is the nature that you take care of yourself. It is the nature that you rebel against God. And when you did not know Jesus, I'm not saying you ran around a pentagram naked and started slaughtering children in the middle, but you actually were worshiping the devil. He was your God. And before you are saved, the very nature called the Adamic nature is that you live within the nature of your father. The first Adam brought death, but the second Adam brought life. Amen. And that's Jesus. The Bible continues to say this, but God, everybody shout, but God. Come on, shout, but God. But God, who is rich, ooh, hallelujah, rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together to make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Today I want to talk about this entire text, and I'm going to just brush it because I don't have time. You know, I would love one day just to preach 2 hours. How many of you, maybe one day we just will come in and maybe do one song and I'll preach the whole service, just for the fun of it. You know what I mean? I've always wanted to do that, and I've preached, I think 3 hours is the longest I've ever preached. It was a lot of fun. I only had 10 people pass out on me. It was not bad. Listen, don't make fun of me. Paul, I remember Paul in the book of Acts. He preached so long that a young man fell asleep and fell out a third-story window and died. He had to go down and raise him from the dead just to keep the meetings going. Amen? Today I want to talk about how many people are resting in the generous mercy of God. God is generous with his mercy, yet so many believers don't realize God never called you to live in mercy. He called you to live in grace. Many individuals are living in the mercy of God, which means what? They're continuing to live a lifestyle that is not pleasing to the Lord, and therefore they have to live in the mercy, not getting what we deserve. Rather than living in the grace of God, the power of God, the favor of God, that will give you the authority, the power in Jesus' name to overcome every single situation, every single bondage, that you don't have to live in sin. Turn to someone and say, I don't have to sin another day. Listen, so many believers are taught, well, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, you were a sinner, but now that you're washed by the blood of Jesus, the old man is gone. The old nature is gone. Romans chapter 6, no longer am I a slave to sin, but I am a slave to righteousness, that by the blood of Jesus, I have a new nature. 1 Peter, the new nature is that I am in the nature of my God. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he dwells inside of me. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The very fruit personality of God dwells in me because I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. You see, we sin now because we choose to sin, not because we have to sin. The devil made me do it. Nope. It was you. Shazam. Surprise. Stop blaming everybody else. The fact is that you and I, when we sin after we've been born again, we are choosing to sin. Well, I don't have the power not to. That is a lie. The purpose for mercy is not that we live inside of it because we're constantly living in sin. The purpose for mercy is that when we sin and confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The purpose of mercy is to reattach us to the grace. When we constantly live in mercy, we are abandoning the power to live a successful life. This is where you and I as believers have to challenge ourselves because it's so much easier. You know, the book of Romans talks about it. Shall we continue to sin because grace does abound? God forbid. God's favor, God's goodness, God's mercy, they are new every morning. The book of Lamentations makes a declaration. I just want to read the verse to you because I think it's powerful to hear the word. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Just because we have the generous mercy of God does not mean that we have the right to live within a sinful nature. We all come to the crossroads where we got to make a decision. Am I truly going to follow God because I love him, or am I just following God to get out of the lake of fire? Now, let's be honest. Anybody doing that is just smart. But if you really want to be smarter, then it's learning how to live for God. It's learning how to live in his power. It's learning how to live in his grace so that you don't have to constantly live within God's mercy and go to him and constantly have to say, look at God, I messed up again. Listen, we should not be going daily, God, I messed up again. God has enough power in heaven. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. It's time to recognize you are not weak, but you are strong. And every trial and tribulation that comes your way, God's power, God's grace, God's favor is there to make you free. You see, justice demands that a misdemeanor or a felony pays a consequence. Anybody who's a lawbreaker, the police are going to come, there's going to be a warrant issued, and you're going to be arrested. Well, why arrested? Well, I don't know. Has anybody ever visited prison before? I've done prison ministry for years. And this is what I heard on a constant basis. I really didn't do it. But the proof was there. Yeah, but it wasn't me. Who was it? I don't know. They looked like me. They had my fingerprints and my DNA, but it wasn't me. Nobody wants to be wrong. But the fact is that if you break the law, they have the right, because of justice, to take you into custody. You see, justice is powerful. God is a just God, which many of us, listen now, even with this theory of grace, you know, what are they calling that thing? That new grace thing? Hyper grace. Where you can, all the sins in your past, all the sins in your present, all the sins in your future are already forgiven, so you can live any way you want. Listen, that's not grace. They're actually saying hyper mercy. And mercy is powerful, but many times we forget that mercy does not dismiss justice. Justice is a powerful principle of God. And you see, I love mercy because I believe God's mercy is activated by our hearts. A person that really has a heart after God, even though they screw up time and time again, that person, God will release a mercy in their life, a blessing in their life. Why? Because he sees that in the future they are going to turn. But mercy ceases when the heart is not, how do I say it? When the heart is dark, mercy ceases. Now, no man sees the heart. But the truth is that you will find mercy being released from your life when your heart is not right. If you and I will respond to the mercy of God, even though, come on now, anybody here ever done the same sin more than once? Twice? Three times? 10 times? 136 times? 0.4. Mercy doesn't dispense or get rid of justice. But when there's a spirit of repentance instead of a passion for hedonism, you will find that justice says the price must be paid, but mercy will always say no. You see, God is a God of generous mercy. He sees you. He doesn't see you in your A, B, C, D. God sees you in your Z. And God's passion is that he will lead you and guide you, even through prevenient grace. Before you ever confess Christ as your Savior, he's already releasing mercy in your life. He's already drawing you. He's already ministering to you. You see, you didn't come to this room today if you don't know Christ by accident. God has been setting you up for years. God's been putting people in your life for years. Why? Because of the prevenient grace and mercy of our God. You see, mercy works for justice, not justice works for mercy. Mercy has no right to override justice, but God. Justice means there's a price that must be paid for the misdemeanor or the felony. And either way, there's a consequence. And many people live within this lifestyle of mercy. They live in the life of mercy and take advantage of the mercy and never step into the grace or the power or favor to where they can live successfully. So what ends up happening is their heart becomes hardened. You see, when a person does not respond to the Holy Spirit, their heart becomes hardened. The Bible says that many are dull in spirit. That mercy is to keep you fresh. That mercy is to keep you supple. That mercy is so that you and I will see that God's love is great. Can I hear an amen? But God's love is also great when justice is dispensed because mercy is not responded to. Justice is the friend of the innocent. But mercy is the cry of the guilty. As believers, we've got to come back to the understanding that, yes, God's mercy is abundant. Can I hear an amen? God's mercy is great. In fact, how many of you are thanking God for the mercy of Jesus this morning? Why don't you take 30 seconds and just start praising him right now? Just start thanking him for his mercy. Just start thanking him for the, man, when we should have paid the price, he paid it for us. He is a good God. He is a great God. He is abundant God. He is a giving God. He is a gracious God. He is a passionate God. I think what's the scariest thing is when people live in this lifestyle of mercy, they get drunken with their own deception, believing that there'll never be justice. I'll say it again. The people that are living in the hedonistic lifestyle, hedonism means self-pleasure, because God's mercy is so generous, they do not see an immediate retribution. They do not see immediate justice. So they get drunken in a lie and self-deception, believing that I can live this lifestyle any way that I desire because of God's generous mercy. He has to forgive me. Listen, even coming to a place of forgiveness is the mercies of God. For without godly repentance, there is no forgiveness. And without the shedding of blood, sins cannot be forgiven. You see, we are a people that are so blessed. And God's generosity, God's blessing to us with the blood of Christ, God's blessing and generosity with his mercy. We cannot allow ourselves to sit in a self-deceptive mode and believe, especially as our heart becomes darker, that it's okay, that there is no justice being dispensed yet. So therefore, I must be okay myself. Lawbreakers are always in the position of penalty. You heard me say it last week. If you don't like the consequence to sin, don't sin. And there's always a consequence, for the wages of sin is, you know, even in the church world, we play games in American churches. We need to recognize it's not our church. It's God's church. Man, I speak that every morning. God, I thank you. It's not my church. I have responsibility here. I have a call here. I have to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But this is not my church. And I'll never lay hold of it. Why? Because I don't want that kind of stress. I have a hard time keeping my wife in order. No, I'm just kidding. And many times what happens is we take our lives and we live any way we desire and think that God's mercy is obligated to set us free. But mercy will only turn over justice if the heart is pure. You know, the book of Acts is power. How many of you realize the book of Acts had no ending? There is no formal ending to the book of Acts. In fact, you and I are still living the book of Acts. In fact, the book of Acts is really our era in time of church. It is the church age. So what we see in the book of Acts is available for us. In fact, the very pattern of heaven is what we're talking about at the Empowering Pastors Leadership Summit, because it's time to get back to the blueprint of God and get away from the blueprint of man. And in that is some sobering moments. How many of you know sobering moments take your breath away but are ultimately good? In the book of Acts chapter 5, there was a man and a woman. Now, at that point in time, the church, they had this heart to where they wanted to be a blesser. They were generous because God was generous. And they would sell things that they had excess of and bring the money and give it to the disciples. And the Bible says there was not one among all the believers who had lack. Now, how many of you know lack is not of God? You see, as believers, God has blessed you to bless somebody else. True prosperity is not that you have so much in your pocket that you can't walk. True prosperity is that you have more than enough to be able to give away. And here we have that the children of Israel were, the sons of God and daughters of God were obeying the Lord. And it was a man named Ananias and Sapphira. They had a field. They went out and sold the field. And they came back to the man of God. And they said, here's the money for the field. And the Spirit of God spoke to Peter and said this: why has he lied to the Holy Ghost? Well, you see, people that are the mercy folk, and I believe in mercy because I need mercy. Can I hear an amen? But mercy is released according to the heart. And these folks did not have a heart. Their heart was hardened. And so mercy was not given. And Peter looked and said, listen, because you have lied to the Holy Ghost, you'll not make it out of the building. And immediately he dropped dead. The wife came in after the husband was buried, didn't know what had happened. Walked up and Peter said, hey, listen, I just got a question for you. The price that you gave, was that the price you sold the land for? And she said, yes, it was. And Peter said, you too have lied to the Holy Ghost. You see, this is not our church. This is God's church. And God's mercy is dispensed when the hearts are correct. And because their hearts were not correct, he looked and he said, the same men that carried your men out, your husband out, are the same ones that are going to carry you out. And she dropped dead too. And the Bible says, a great fear came upon the congregation. Can I hear an amen? What it was, he lied to the Spirit of God, but his heart was not where mercy could be released. So therefore, justice had to come. The wages of sin is death. And just because we don't see the immediate justice does not mean we can play with sin. We've got to recognize that God is looking at the heart, that God looks at our heart. Even, man, there are people that have done horrific things. I'm talking diabolical things. But yet their hearts were still soft enough that God would release mercy to draw them and that he, by justice, would take their sin. But there are folks that have sat back and lived a lifestyle of sin and they said, well, God's got to forgive me because he's a merciful God. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Jesus was not sent here so we could live in mercy. Jesus was sent here so we could live in grace. Grace. Oh, I know the terms, and I've studied the terms. And God's favor is the basic definition. But you and I recognize that God's favor is the release of heaven's power in our life. Everything that God does has supernatural value to it. He doesn't do stuff just to do stuff. He's not the convenience store. Can I hear an amen or am I? Jesus died to release the power of heaven, the grace of God, in our lives so that we do not have to live the lifestyle of sin. That as believers, we are different. Turn to someone and say, you look peculiar. Now that was just mean. I don't know why you did that. That was just mean. Turn back to them and say, I'm sorry. Now say, you act peculiar. And seriously, you should be acting peculiar. Peculiar means you're not the same. Come out from among them, be ye separate, says the Lord. You and I are not of this world. We are sojourners here. We should not be living the lifestyle that demands the mercy. We should be living in the grace that shows forth the light and the power of our Christ that says, by his stripes you were healed, and by the blood of Jesus you are set free, and you can have a relationship with the living God. The grace of God is what Christ has put in your life so that we can live successfully, so we can live blessed, so that we can live as a testimony to the world that the church is not some weak people that sit back and need a crutch, but we're sons and daughters of the Most High King, ambassadors of God himself. We've been sent here to save you. God has no plan B. You and I are the only plan that God has. And when we don't live in the grace and the power of heaven, then we live in mercy. And living in mercy means you need it a lot. And if you need it a lot, it means you're not rising to who you're called to be in Jesus. Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. You see, the grace is not you and I doing it. I've had people say to me, well, you know, I'm trying to be better. Well, stop trying. And start drawing. The grace is God giving us supernatural power to live a supernatural life. This is where many believers are in the disconnect with the generous grace. We're trying to live this walk ourselves. God never called you to walk this walk yourself. You can't do it. If we could do it, then the law would have remained intact. We have been given grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's that grace of God, that supernatural power, that supernatural favor of God that's released in our lives. As we confess the Lord with our mouth, believing that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved, and God changes us. I am no longer the same man. I'm no longer the same woman. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am a powerful person in the kingdom. The kingdom of God resides within me, and I'm walking in the grace and the power of heaven to live a lifestyle that others will say, I want who you serve. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God. If I shout, but God. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's called grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. See, the Bible says that Paul had seen some visions. He was brought up into the third heaven, and he saw things he couldn't even say, couldn't even speak. And the Bible said that there was a demon that was coming after him, and he was buffeting him. It wasn't a sickness. The Baptists usually say it's a sickness, and some of the religious Pentecostals say it was a sickness. It's called ophthalmia, and that's such foolishness. I'll prove it to you some other day. I don't have time today. But Paul actually shows how he lived blessed, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of harshness. The grace of God will bring you to a place of success no matter where you are. God will bless you with his grace, the power, and the favor no matter where you are when you start drawing from the generous grace of God. Start calling on the generous grace of God and not living in your own power. You see, we are weak, but he is strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says what he was weak about. Why he needed the grace. Because he was jailed, beaten without numbers, beaten 5 times with 39 stripes with lashes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 1 time he was stoned to the place that they thought he was dead in Acts chapter 14. 3 times he was shipwrecked, spent the night floating in the sea. How many of you know that you should not water ski in Seneca Lake because there are sharks? There are no sharks. That's why I don't water ski in Seneca Lake. I know there are sharks in there. Can you imagine being Paul, though? He's floating in the sea at night. I'm just not okay with that. I'd have been all right with the grace of God at that very moment. Can I hear an amen? The power and the favor of God that surrounded him and kept him safe. He faced dangers by robbers and by travel. He was hated by his countrymen, by his nationality, and even the Gentiles hated him. He was hated by everybody. He was cold, sometimes hungry, sometimes sleepless. He was burdened for the church, so much of a burden that he gave up his own life. He said, I count it all lost just to know Christ. But his passion was that he would know Jesus and be able to build the house of God. You see, he had a buffeting demon that was with him, and this is what God said to him, my grace, my power, my favor is sufficient for you. It's all you need. All you need. You see, today, some of you, you love the mercy, and I don't know, but we all love the mercy. But man, you're drinking way too big of a cup of it. God's mercy in your life will cease when he sees that your heart will become so hard that you will not respond. And then justice will be dispensed to awaken you. Now, I know some of you have different discipline processes with your children, but I spank my kids. I spanked Chad when he was 17 years old. He was big enough to spank me. No, really. He was big enough to speak. He was being disrespectful. And as I taught my children, if you can't respect the father who you can see, you'll never respect the father who you can't. So there was no disrespect allowed in my house. And I remember telling Chad, get over here, drop your drawers, bend over and touch my ankle. And he looked at me. And I'm saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. He dropped his drawers, bent over, touched my ankle. I took my belt and I whooped on his hiney. And you know what? He kind of laughed on the way out. You know what I mean? But the whole purpose of justice is helping somebody understand when they're unwilling to repent themselves that you will pay a price. And the discipline, the justice, is to wake you up before you kill yourself. I like mercy, but we are not to abide in mercy. We're to live in grace. See, every one of you in this room have the power of God, have the grace of God to forgive anybody that you hold bitterness towards. You have the grace of God to be free from your addictions. You have the grace of God to be free from your sexual sins. You have the grace of God to live in blessing at your job, blessing in your home, blessing in your finances. You have the grace of God to live in joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. The generous grace given empowers us to live for Christ. Every single day when we get out of bed, we don't have to say, well, you know, it's Monday morning. No, it's Monday morning. The devil, all the gates of hell are starting to shake because I put my foot down. I'm ready to walk on this earth. I'm going to prepare myself with the whole armor of God. I'm going to pray on Monday morning at 6:15 on the prayer line, and I'm going to call down the grace of God that I'll live a successful life today, that I might share the gospel with somebody, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Cast out a devil in the name of Jesus, and that I'll speak in tongues. I'm going to speak my homeland's, come on now, I'm going to speak my homeland's nature, my homeland's life, my homeland's language called the Holy Ghost. You see, you and I are not weak, but we are strong because the grace of God, even in our weakness, give us all that we need to be successful. His mercy is generous. His grace is generous. But today, I just really sensed in my spirit as I was preparing the word, some of you are living in God's mercy, thinking that justice will never come. Do not be deceived. I challenge you to flip the switch and get into the grace. Thank God for his mercy. But stop living with that sin. Stop living with that lifestyle. It's not your nature anymore anyways. Your nature now is that of Christ. You are set for success in everything you touch and do if you live in the grace of Jesus. My grace is all you need. Amen. Today, if you're sitting here and you're struggling with sin, I'm talking like you really have tried. You've tried. I mean, you're genuine. You have tried to get out of sin. And God is saying that today he's going to set you free. Amen. I believe that Christ breaks bondages in milliseconds. What somebody cannot do in years, my Jesus can do in a millisecond. I know that today, if you're living and you're not saved, that you are living in the mercies of God. But Jesus is saying, I got some grace for you. By grace are you saved? He said, if you come to the altar today and confess with your mouth, my grace will be released in your life, and yes, I'll still give you mercy, but now you're going to have the power that you won't need it as much. No matter where you are in your walk with God, you've got to make an advance in grace. Father, I pray for the grace of heaven to be released in this house in a new dimension. Father, that you'll give us more power than we've ever had before. It's already there. Lord, it already resides in us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you already have heaven to be released to earth. So God, I pray that you'll empower us to live for you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, thank God for his mercy. Anybody, whoever has already been saved, shout thank God for his mercy. If you're not saved, today is your day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Right now, you've been living on mercy. Justice will come. But when you confess him as your Savior, you go from death to life, darkness to light. You become a new person, and now you're living in grace. Today, if you need the grace of God, you need salvation in your life. You need Jesus to wash your sins away. I want to lead you to the best friend you'll ever have. If you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. We're going to pray with you. We're not going to embarrass you. Thank you, young lady. Thank you, sir, over there. Very good. Thank you, sir, back there. Thank you, over there. Very good. Thank you, ma'am, over there. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? This is your time. This is your moment. Don't let your moment seep by. Don't let it slip by. This is your time. I'm just going to ask one more time. Anybody here? Anybody else wants to be saved than those that have already raised their hand? 5. Thank you, young lady. 4. 3. Get your hand up. Thank you. 3. 2. Come on, last call. Get your hand up. Thank you very much, young girl. Thank you, young ladies, right next to each other. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. You see, today, God's grace is going to show forth in mighty power. If I could have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. Some of you out there have been struggling. You are born again. You love Jesus. But you've been living in the mercy because you haven't been exercising grace. Today, if you're struggling, These prayer warriors today are going to agree with you. We're going to break the power of that sin in your life. Jesus said you're no longer a slave to it. Through the power of agreement, we're going to see God break through in your life. Some of you have been struggling with smoking, some addictions in your life. Some of you have been struggling with pornography. Some of you have been struggling with all these different other sins in your life, maybe that nobody else knows about. You don't have to come up here and say, well, this is my sin. But you can say, I need someone to agree with me to be free in Jesus' name. Amen? I said, amen! If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be brave. I'm going to ask you to come meet me right here. We want to pray with you. We want to minister to you. So come on, if you raise your hand, step right out of your chair. Come on, give them a hand clap as they're coming.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I grabbed the mic for a reason. I was going to come last week, but stuff happened, and of course the devil was on my back, so I had to shake him off. But as I walked in today, I see a lot of you wondering who's who, who's who. We're all brothers. When you leave this church, when you leave your house, when you wake up in the morning, we're still brothers. We bleed the same underneath. Amen. So when you go outside, you see things happening, stop and try to help someone. I don't care who it is. I don't care what color, green, purple, red, who it is, how old. Don't turn away. Amen. We have to stick together. Now is the time. There is no stop the clock because we done ran out of time already. We're done.
We did. 1 minute ago.
Animals are sticking together now. When have you seen cats and dogs and rats stick together? Never. Fishes are sticking together with the fishes they feed upon. We ran out of time, people. We're done. We need each other. We need everybody. I don't care what religion you're in. We need everybody. So stop turning your faces and say, I don't know that person. Don't wait to walk in. Come in. Amen. He didn't close the door, lock it on you. You walk right in. If you have to wake up a pastor, wake him up. I need to talk to him. If you need to go outside, you see something wrong, don't be afraid to go outside because you believe it's the right thing to do. Stop being afraid, people. Kids are in the streets starving and dying. We need to stick together. Amen. We can't do this. He can't do this by himself. So no more time. We're done with time. Time is done. There's no more time left. We have to stick together. Stop sitting in the bike. Stop sitting in the back.
Hey, you don't get that, man. You're lost. Amen? You're going to get saved today, eh? Oh, you all saved there? Yeah. Here we go. Go sit down. I love you. I'm so proud of you. There are more folks that raise their hand. If you raise your hand, get right on down here now. We're going to have Mindy right here. Isn't she pretty? She's going to pray with you. We're going to lead you to Jesus, and we're going to get you a Bible in your hand, and we're going to get you to know where you're going so that you're never going to be lost again. Amen? You're going to finish the race. Praise the Lord. Why don't you follow Mindy right over on that side? If you're out here this morning and you need prayer, get right down to the altar. We're going to pray with you. I believe God. You're going to be set free in Jesus' name. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. If you're a guest this morning, make sure you make it over to the guest reception room. We love you. We'll see you next week at His Tabernacle Family Church.
The sound that saves.